Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A new bill in the Alaska Senate would provide a $1,600 permanent fund dividend this fall. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that the payout would stay within parameters of a law passed last year designed to allow the fund to grow by keeping earnings draws at a sustainable level. To do that, the Senate PFD bill would also draw on other general fund revenue, as well as the statutory budget reserve and Alaska Higher Education Investment Fund. Senate floor debate on the bill is expected as soon as today. Governor Mike Dunleavy, who supports paying out a full dividend under the traditional formula, says if passed by lawmakers, he'll veto the Senate bill. A lightning-caused wildfire is burning in the northern interior. The Red Mountain Fire is north of the Koyukuk River, southwest of the community of Bettles. An Alaska Interagency Coordination Center report lists the Red Mountain Fire at 52 acres. It says 8 smoke jumpers were deployed on it yesterday, aided by 2 water-scooping planes. The fire is burning in a modified protection zone, and the AIC report says nothing is currently at risk. The State Agriculture Division has taken a first step toward in-state production of industrial hemp, a form of cannabis used in textiles, paper, biodegradable plastic, and other products.
There's thousands of uses out there, some that haven't been identified.
State Ag Division agronomist Robert Carter is working on the industrial hemp program, including review of public comments on proposed regulations announced yesterday by the State Department of Natural Resources. Carter says the regulations reflect state and federal legislation.
Regulations that interpret Senate Bill 6 and the 2014 Farm Bill on the national level that legitimize an industrial hemp production around the country for states that implement programs such as this.
Unlike marijuana, industrial hemp does not contain psychoactive chemicals, and Carter says the regulations require testing to ensure that. He says Senate Bill 6 also calls for programs to boost the industry in Alaska.
At the Plant Material Center where I am located, we are currently growing industrial hemp as part of the pilot program to start evaluating varieties, their suitability for Alaska.
The proposed regulations are out for public comment until July 3rd, and Carter says he's optimistic Alaska growers will be producing industrial hemp later this year. A University of Alaska-formed task force will look at options for restructuring the UA system. The Board of Regents voted last month to form the task force, and Regents Chair John Davies has appointed 11 Alaskans to the group, charged with considering at least 4 restructure options, including the status quo.
Which is 3 universities under one system, and then there's a lead university model where each university would specialize more than they do now. And then there's a single accreditation option where we would go to having all 3 universities combined into one under one administration. And then the 4th option would be 3 independent universities with separate administrations.
Davies says the task force analysis reflects anticipated state funding reductions and instruction from the legislature to consider a single accreditation model.
We want to take a look at that. And of course, there's always a trade-off issue, you know, are the savings worth the cost of the programs?
Davies notes that the task force will be able to draw on past and current downsizing and restructure analysis and initiatives, including UA 2040, a plan for improved online access.
A single portal website that any student anywhere in the state can log into and get information about all the programs that are available across the entire state. To break down some of the silos that exist now.
Davies underscores the importance of the task force's work, given the real effects of ongoing uncertainty about the university's future.
People are making choices to go elsewhere. You know, students are deciding to go outside, and faculty are looking around to see if they have better options.
The 11-member task force includes former UA Regent Joe Heckman, current Regent Sherry Beretta, Alyeska Pipeline Service Company President Tom Barrett, Doyon President and CEO Aaron Schutt, former North Rim Bank CEO Joe Beadle, former Rural Alaska State Legislator Reggie Jewell, retired UA faculty members Terrence Cole, Kathy Connor, and Gunnar Knapp, former UA executive Wendy Redman, and student Joey Sweet. The task force, which will hold public meetings around the state, has to get a final report to Regents by November. Carnival Corporation has agreed to penalties to resolve felony pollution probation violations, a settlement some Southeast Alaska residents call a slap on the wrist, Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports.
The federal case is in Miami, but 3,400 miles away, Alaskans have strong opinions about what should be done about Carnival caught violating its felony probation by polluting, then falsifying records to cover it up.
We're all in favor of the tourism industry as long as the ships don't pollute.
That's Theodore Chip Toma of Responsible Cruising in Alaska.
But if they pollute and continue on with these practices, then they're going to have to face the consequences.
A Holland America cruise ship illegally dumped 26,000 gallons of gray water in Glacier Bay National Park. And the crew of the Carnival-owned cruise ship Westerdam made matters worse when they didn't immediately report it to the Coast Guard. The National Park Service fined the cruise line $250. Then it granted Carnival another 10-year concession for its ships to visit the park. Critics in Southeast say there has to be greater consequences for pollution. Eric Forer is a retired fisherman in Juneau. Both he and Toma were among at least four Southeast Alaskans that urged the court not to let Carnival off lightly.
Until being dirty is more expensive than being clean, they will continue to be dirty.
These Southeast Alaskans petitioned to intervene in the case under the Crime Victims Rights Act. Federal prosecutors opposed the filing because they argued Alaskans failed to prove any direct harm from Carnival's criminal actions. Carnival's five-year felony probation stemmed from a 2016 conviction for dumping oily waste in the water and then trying to conceal it from regulators. In April, U.S. District Judge Patricia Seitz threatened to temporarily block Carnival Corporation from docking any of its ships in U.S. ports. That caught the Dunleavy administration's attention. Governor Mike Dunleavy wrote that he understood Carnival has made mistakes and that he understood the corporate leadership was prepared to accept responsibility for these lapses and to propose a way to move forward. On Monday afternoon, the federal judge accepted a new plea deal with prosecutors. Carnival will pay an additional $20 million fine and submit to even more stringent monitoring. Carnival Corporation says its agreement with the Department of Justice would in part ensure the strongest and most sustainable environmental compliance program. Here's spokesman Chris Kreddick speaking from Monday's statement.
Carnival Corporation remains committed to environmental excellence and protecting the environment in which we live, work, and travel.
Monday's settlement represents the fourth time Carnival admitted to criminal wrongdoing since 1998. Failure to abide by the new terms would mean daily fines of $1 million, increasing to $10 million a day. Cruise ship critics decried the settlement as another slap on the wrist. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And I'm Dan Bross.